Thursday, December 4th, 2021 meeting of the Orange County Parks Commission. I'm so sorry.
Chair Muller?
Here.
Vice Chair Kreis?
Here.
Commissioner Ashland?
Here.
Commissioner Wellborn?
Here.
Commissioner Hanson?
Here.
Commissioner Custer?
Here.
Appreciate it.
Commissioner Schaubert?
Present.
We have full attendance of quorum.
I gotta tell you, it's been a long time. Seven people here, we should get some stuff done.
You should see the committee.
All right, that's gonna bring us to the public comment section. At this time, the members of the public may address the commission. You'll have 3 minutes to discuss any items not on the agenda. We have one public speaker tonight, Stephen Sheffield.
All right. Thanks. I wasn't sure the best way to do this, so I thought I'd just come again for a public comment. I'm Stephen Sheffield. I'm involved in the e-bike world in lots of ways with my employers, Bosch E-Bikes, here in Orange County. But I'm also part of People for Bikes, the advocacy group for bikes and e-bikes in the United States, and part of NICA, where I help coach. And we were starting to have more dialogue about this topic a couple years ago. I think there were plans for some meetings to discuss further about e-bike access and how to evaluate the best way to do that. And that got held up in COVID. We weren't able to have those meetings, as with a lot of things. But I'm excited to meet Tom, and I'm hoping that I can offer support, that we can re-engage in this dialogue, and if there's anything we can do to get this back on the agenda. I'm in contact with lots of people who are very interested in this topic, and we'd love to see a resolution on this, or some decisions made in this space, to see if we could run some pilots or do some things as People for Bikes to support looking at e-bike access in a more formal way. So just wanted to offer that, say hi to Tom and the rest of the OC Parks team. And I don't think I really get feedback from you, but if there's any advice from others in the group how we can get these conversations going, I'd love to hear it.
Thank you. And I'm going to address that real quickly. I sit on OCTA as well, and we are working on a plan to come up with a bicycle safety program for kids 16 and under for e-bikes, so they're going to have to take that before they can get on it. We're working with State Assembly Member Lori Davies to come up with some legislation on how we're going to define these things, where they're going to be allowed, where they're not going to be allowed. And so that is all in process right now. OCTA will probably administer the courses at first as they're developed, and then we're going to allow third parties to be able to offer them anywhere in the county. So
okay.
Always have to go up to OCTA to take it. So there are discussions going on about it. It hasn't been forgotten.
Oh, no, I don't.
So there's a lot forgotten about it. But just stay tuned. It's coming. I don't know if it's the right place to do it here until we figure out how the state's going to handle that and what the regulations are going to be around it, because they may take care of it at the state level, and then we can follow up. Just so you know, so stay tuned. Look at what Lori Davies is doing. Watch OCTA. They have a program, a safety program.
OCTA is looking at the road, right?
No, and trails.
Also
everything.
Looking at trails.
It'll be everything. It'll be bicycle safety, trails, dirt paths, paved paths, streets. Okay? It'll be all about e-bike awareness, making sure kids understand the rules of the road.
Okay.
All right.
Let us know how we can help.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have any other further public speakers. Anybody else? No? Okay, I'll go ahead and close public comments. Okay, that brings us to the consent calendar, the calling item. We have one item that is the minutes on the consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull that?
David? I'll move it.
Okay, we have a motion. Now second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody. Okay, great. That passes. We're at the discussion calendar. Item A, strategic financial plan. Mr. Starnes.
Yeah, so let me just kick it off, and then
I'm going to start real quick, guys. We're going to wait and hold our questions till the end, and we're going to get them through the whole presentation on this, and then we just take your notes and we'll ask all the questions at the end.
Thank you, I appreciate that, Chair. What we wanted to do is, and I won't steal everybody's thunder, I know that if anything I say will step on someone's script, so I'm at a loss for words here. Let me just introduce the two folks that will be presenting to you today. There's Ronnie Yeste, and she's our budget analyst over at Orange County Community Resources. She's embedded within Parks and works solely with us. So she's an extension of the Parks family, but somebody that's here at headquarters and working with us. Deputy Director Joanne Veeder is also going to be leading the presentation as well. What we have is the CEO's office asked us to do a five-year budget snapshot. Each year we do a rolling version of that. This is what you're going to see is what we've come up with this year. And then we'll try to get through it in about a half an hour, so just prepare yourselves, and then at the end then we'll answer all your questions.
All right. Thank you, Director Starnes. All right, as Director Starnes had mentioned, the county does a annual process to develop a strategic financial plan. The strategic financial plan is a five-year look ahead over our revenues and expenditures and the various capital improvement projects that we have on the books. A document is filed with the board annually, and this year it's going to happen in December. So just a quick background to start. The strategic plan for OC Parks was approved by the Board of Supervisors in 2018. Like many strategic plans, it sets forth guidelines for how we do our business. It also set our vision and mission that we currently use, which is essentially focused on our duties related to stewardship of the lands, as well as providing public services on our parks. Moving forward. The strategic plan also set forth overarching goals that would help guide our different actions throughout the years that we have this. It also sets some ongoing initiatives, and I just want to focus on a few of them here. The first one I want to talk about is that understand our park visitors' needs. Essentially, this goal helps us focus more on ensuring that our activities, our events, and our programs are responsive to the public and that it meets their needs and desires. We are currently conducting visitor use surveys at our park special events, and we're essentially asking the question, what are we doing well and what can we improve on? Another thing I want to quickly highlight is this particular Parks in Perpetuity Together initiative. And for that, we are conducting several educational initiatives to the public. One of them is called the Hike, Bike, Ride, Good Vibes event, which is an educational outreach program that basically teaches the public about etiquette and how to better use their trails so that they improve their park experience. And then lastly, I want to touch on this cultivate an effective and dynamic workforce goal. Of course, we are stewards of financial and natural resources, but we also have staffing resources that we manage. And for that goal, a unique thing that's happened this past year was about a year and a half ago, there was a county voluntary retirement program that was offered. A lot of people took advantage of it, and that gave us an opportunity to reevaluate the positions that were being vacated to ensure that they were still meeting parks' needs today. One position that we were changing is a graphic artist position that actually did a lot of paintings for us, which is nice, and we have them actually at a lot of our facilities. But we thought that we could better purpose that position for what we're going through now. We're actually changing that to a coastal planner position that is going to be focused primarily on the various projects that we have at the coast and hopefully assisting us with the Coastal Commission applications that we're bringing forth. And we're really hoping for some success in those areas with this person on board. Okay, so those were ongoing initiatives. Here are some big projects that we've just had done or are getting near completion on. A few of them I want to mention is the Miles Square Regional Park Master Plan. You guys all saw that about 4 months ago in June, and that went to the board for approval in July, which happened. We also are progressing real nicely on this OC Zoo Large Mammal Exhibit. We were there about a week ago, and we're seeing some good vertical structures popping up already. The structures of the buildings, as well as some rock work, are already quite visible. And then lastly, I just want to touch on the record attendance that we had for our summer events, primarily the summer concert. We actually had almost three times the amount of people coming to our concerts as compared with about 5 years ago when the program was in its infancy. So we're looking at more like 30,000 people per year coming to these events. And then a few things that we're looking forward to next year. The Miles Square Regional Park Master Plan sets forth the park expansion project, which essentially converts a portion of the golf course back into parkland. And that is moving forward quite nicely. We're looking forward to having that construction document approved by the board in about a month or so. We're also continuing progress on the Talbert Regional Park Master Plan and hopefully preserving a little bit more of our property down in Capistrano Beach, or as much as we can at this point. Okay, so I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Yeste Alarcon. She is going to handle the next few budget intensive slides for us.
Thank you. So I'm at the assumption slide. These are some of the factors that are driving forecast over the next 5 years. At the top, we have the salary and benefits. It does include a vacancy rate of 5.86%, or, and that comes to about 20 positions vacant. The property taxes includes a growth rate of 3.75% in year one and 3.5% in the remaining years. Other revenues, it does include a reduction to interest income that is due to lower interest rates, and rents are aligned to prior trends. On service and supplies, we really look at historical trends. We incorporate CO budget rates. That's going to include the consumer price index of 2.5% in year one and 3.1% in the remaining years. We do look at that current year budget, and then we also want to capture any type of changes. This year, it does include new expenditures related to the operation of the OC Zoo and the Miles Square Park expansions. On equipment, because we are seeing some slight reductions on the revenue side, we do want to make sure that we are aligning the expenses to the available funding. We do include a reduction to the large equipment purchases that is compared to the current year budget. Other financing, those are funds that are transferred out to other funds. This one does include a reduction to the capital improvement plan. And those are the funds that are transferred over to Fund 406, and Parks is evaluating their vehicle replacements. On reserve obligations, Parks is looking to align to the county's policy for general fund. The capital project reserve, that's Fund 406. They are hoping to maintain the balance that's currently in there. And then the Dana Point Highlands, that's Fund 108. It does include a drawdown of $35 million in those 5 years. And then we'll touch a little bit more on the next slide when we get to Fund 108. So we'll start with Fund 405. That is Park's main operating fund. It does cover their whole system. There are additional funds that Park does manage. They are designated to specific purposes or specific location. When those funds have expenses that are exceeding their revenues, then Fund 405 will subsidize them. Parks funds are primarily non-general funds. So what that means is they don't receive any general funds, but if they do have any revenues that are left unspent in that fiscal year, they will remain within that fund. And they typically go into a fund balance unassigned, and you'll hear us refer to that also as an FBU. So I want to start with looking at the modified budget for 21-22. That's the $67 million right there. And I want to compare it to that first year, fiscal year 22-23, $127 million. That's about a $40 million variance. Each year after, you can see that there's steady growth in there, but I want to talk a little bit more about where those major variances are coming from. On your service and supplies in the current year, it does include $89 million. That includes COVID-related expenditures. It's going to be additional janitorial and lifeguard services, as well as parking services. Those costs are not included in those future years. Also included in that 89 are going to be one-time capital projects related to that capital improvement plan. So there's going to be less projects in those future years. On equipment, that $3.4 million, that's kind of what we were looking at on the assumption when we said we reduced those future years. But those are for one-time purchases of large equipment. Other financing, that $36 million compared to those future years, that variance is primarily due to the capital improvements. This year, there are more projects that are needing funds transferred over to Fund 406 compared to those future years, and you can see that there. When we look at revenues, we see that $126 million, you can see that steady growth there. That's primarily due to the property tax growth rate. I want to talk a little bit about the use of FBU. The current year budget includes $41 million. want to mention that that balance, once that $41 million is spent, that pretty much depletes their total FBU. That's why when we're looking at future years, you see those zeros there. That's under the assumption that all of these projects are completed this year, or at least encumbered this year. If any of them do get deferred into future years, that would leave a FBU unspent, and they'll carry that over, so it'll be consistent. Augmentation, there are two augmentations included. They both are expand augmentations. The first one is to add four positions for the OC Zoo expansion. Those positions are needed to operate the new large mammal exhibit. The second augmentation is to add four positions for the Mile Square Park expansion, and that is to operate the additional 93 acres. The first request to add the four positions for the OC Zoo expansion, Parks does plan to submit that as a mid-year budget adjustment in this fiscal year 21-22. Parks' current position count is at 336. Once we add those two requests there, that'll bring their position count to 344. Then we'll move on to Fund 406. That's Parks Capital Project Fund. We were talking a little bit about that earlier. Currently, it's at that $35 million. You can see those future years out. It's reduced. It's due to less projects in those years, and that was to align it with that funding available. We're trying to average, we're averaging around $10 million per year. The first 3 years do have slightly more projects, so we are decreasing the reserves we're drawing down in order to balance. However, in years 4 and 5, we are putting money back into those reserves, and that is in order to maintain that $16.8 million balance. The primary revenue source for this fund doesn't generate a lot of revenue, but it does have interest income. Where you are seeing these years, those where there is a higher revenue, those are due to one-time grants. This year, it does include a $1.9 million for the OC Zoo, and next year, it does include $3.1 million for Mile Square Park Extension. Then we move to Fund 108, that is the Dana Point Tidelands Fund. I like to start with the current year budget. It's $20 million compared to that first year of almost $8 million. That variance is primarily coming from that $13 million in capital projects. There are two projects that are budgeted this year. The first one is $5.1 million for the Dana Point rockfall mitigation, and the second one is $8 million for the Dana Point dry stack. The year 26-27 also includes $12 million. That will complete the $20 million that's needed to go towards the harbor revitalization project. This fund, I did separate harbor patrol costs, so you can see because that is a large dollar amount in there. We do see that the expenditures are in that $8 million range compared to the revenues that are coming into this fund are closer to that $3 million range. So in order to offset that, we are drawing down reserves once that those FBU balances. We'll always use FBU first before we go into those reserves. And those are averaging in that $5 million range. And then that $17 million is due to that $12 million that's there. So right now, Parks is at about $48 million in the reserves and FBU combined, but by the end of 26-27, we're projecting them in the $9.1 million. So assuming that they're averaging about $5 million a year drawing down, then that would probably last about 2 years before that's completely depleted. Once that happens, then Fund 405 will subsidize this fund. Then we move to Fund 106, Newport Tidelands. Our current budget is $7 million. This current year does include $450,000 for the one-time purchase of a crane, so you do see a little bit of a drop right there. The total expenditures are in that $6 million range. The revenues are primarily from rents. That is lower than their expenditures. So this fund is subsidized by Fund 405. There's a little bit of an FBU balance in there. We'll always utilize that first before we transfer over from Fund 405. And then this is just an overview of Park's other funds. Fund 459 covers landscaping and maintenance for the unincorporated North Teston area. The variance in the current year, that does include a one-time capital project for the Crawford Canyon Park. Fund 477, it covers landscaping and maintenance for the Woodgate Park. And Fund 15K is a trust fund for Limestone Canyon. Wanted to do a quick overview of the service and supplies. This is for all of Parks funds. We have Parks operating costs. We separate them into four categories. The main, we wanted to do this to look at what funds or what expenses Parks has control over versus where their discretionary and non-discretionary funds are. Where the majority of those discretionary funds are going to be in that programming and miscellaneous. However, that's going to include expenses related to community events. Those are going to be the summer concerts and movie nights. So Parks can't just reduce those because it would have a negative impact to the visitor's experience. Additionally, additional costs that are included in there are going to be fish stock for the lakes, as well as food for the zoo, and also the archaeology program. To the right, we kind of break down what some of, what are in some of those different categories. At the very top, we do have Harbor Patrol because it is the largest expense in there at $15.3 million, and it makes up 18% of their total S&S cost. We wanted to look at an overview of their revenue. Again, looking at what revenue they have control over. The rents and interest, as well as property tax, make up 92%. Where Parks probably does have a little bit more control over is going to be that intergovernmental. That's going to be where their grants are, and that makes up about 3%, so it's not very much. Parks does, however, pursue any grant opportunities. Wanted to show how their revenues really line up to their expenditures. The orange line are their expenditures. The years that you see it peaking in 21, 22, and 26, 27 are going to be due to capital projects in those years. The revenue is going to be that blue line, and you can see that shows steady growth. Unfortunately, the blue line is below the orange line, and so right now that is that gap is being funded by FBU and reserves. So we wanted to kind of show what it's doing to those. At the end of 2021, the balance is close to that $170 million. By the end of 26-27, the balance will drop below $70 million. That's about a $100 million change there. Wanted to show the FBU is that blue portion of that bar, and you can see how that gets depleted first, and then the reserves start getting drawn down. And then to show you what's left in the reserves at the end of 26-27, kind of break it out a little bit. Fund 405 makes up 52%. However, that does include the operating and emergency fund, not really intended for their everyday operation. Fund 406 are for capital projects. Those funds are held more for an unexpected maintenance project or a legally mandated type project. Fund 108 is at 14%, however, that will be completely depleted. We're projecting by 28-29. And then the other reserves that are in there are designated to specific funds or purposes.
Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry.
Regarding the Fund 108?
That will be depleted. We're projecting around 28-29 fiscal year.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So in all the previous slides you've seen, our revenue is not quite catching up to the expenditures that we have, and this slide essentially provides some background as to why that could be. Our aging infrastructure is one of the major concerns that we have. We have 60,000 acres of property and lots of assets and infrastructures at those sites. Those will deteriorate over time, and we're looking, even after the strategic financial plan period, at a known deferred maintenance cost of about $230 million, as well as some improvements that were identified in board-approved master plans. We are experiencing an increase in park visitation, which is great. We love that the people are finding our parks and enjoying them, but unfortunately that does accelerate the costs that we have, and it increases the wear and tear on our properties. We also have natural disasters and environmental hazards that we just can't predict. Seems like wildfire season is all year long now. We have that to contend with, as well as the coastal erosion events that seem to be pretty regular these days as well. Invasive insects and plants are something we've always had to think about and ensure that we control, but then we've got this new COVID-19 pandemic situation that apparently is going to also depress some of our revenues. We're also seeing some service increase requirements because we're expanding some of our parks. If we increase the amenities that we have and the park space that we're managing, we definitely want to make sure that they're maintained and operated properly, so we do need staff to do that. Also, we've got some governmental and legislative projects that could crop up. Some of these include ADA and regulatory agency requirements that we do have to do. We also have the board approved master plans that have lease improvements that are all pre-programmed. And this one note about requests from cities and other jurisdictions for cost sharing, this is also being a more common occurrence. One thing that has happened, and I just want to very quickly mention this, is Heritage Hill is in the city of Lake Forest, county facility. The city used to do a fall event every year, which was very popular. Unfortunately, this year they decided they did not want to do it. OC Parks knew that there was public demand for this, so we stepped in and did an inaugural Halloween event. Very well received, but cost us money to do that as well. And then lastly, everybody's experiencing increasing costs through inflation. We're experiencing that same thing as well. Our salaries and benefits continue to go up, as well as the cost of our services and supplies and the contracts that we have. And so exacerbating all of these concerns is the funding constraints that we are facing. We have a very specific source of revenue, most of which we don't control, primarily property tax. It just is what it is. And we do have funds that are restricted to specific areas of our park that we can't tap into. However, 405 is a fund that pays for essentially the operations of all of the parks in our system, so that if those funds end up going upside down, 405 will kick in and it draws from our operating fund to help those funds out. Okay, so what are we doing to help our situation here? Earlier this year, the board approved a 7-year capital improvement project plan. This happens every year. We identified 77 projects. This was essentially, as we've done in past years, an aspirational list, projects that we'd like to do, that we need to do. Include some maintenance projects as well. But now that we've taken a closer look at our budget, we realize that we're not really quite in the position to do that. So we've reduced that set of projects down to 61 projects, primarily focusing on maintenance and refurbishment projects. We did end up saving $36.5 million by doing that. However, deferred maintenance, of course, those costs increase over time. The wear and tear just compounds, and the costs do increase from inflation, too. So those projects do still remain on the list for things for us to do. And then this is basically a graphic representation of that. You'll see in this first year, we're just trying to close out our projects. We've invested some time and money on CEQA and design documents and all of that, so we'd like to close all of those out. But we start to decrease our capital improvements down. We're starting to look at what we really have to do now based on our asset condition assessment and the critical needs that we have at our park, and we're addressing those as priorities. We may not be able to get through all these projects. It's quite a bit. Our staff capacity is what it is, so you might see some of that roll over into the next year and the year after that. One last thing I want to note here, it's not depicted on the slide, but in addition to scaling back our capital improvement projects, we're also looking at the day-to-day requisitions that our staff are making. Vehicle expenses, equipment expenses are now being pulled back quite a bit. We used to have those on a regular replacement cycle. That's not the case anymore. Our question is it safe to use? Is it effective to use? And if so, just keep using it. So lots of effort there, but essentially, I think that does it for our presentation. Essentially, the goal here is let's be a little bit more fiscally conservative. We want to make sure that our parks continue to be operated and maintained at the standards that we're used to. And we just want to make sure that the parks are clean, safe, and open, not just today, but in the future.
Yeah, thank you, Joanne. And I appreciate, by the way, I just want to point out that you ended at 7:30 on the dot. So,
really?
There you go. I mentioned earlier that the presentation would take 30 minutes, so I'm quite proud of you.
I'm glad I could deliver.
Yeah. The other thing, too, just we can have some questions coming up, but I just want to emphasize what Joanne was saying. What we had done was we had looked at our budget. we want to live within our means so that we have a system and we can do all the projects and things that we want to do out into the future as well as right now. So there is an aspect on the last slide that Joanne Machang was saying. What she's saying politely is that we may not get all the projects done this year. That we will not get all of our projects done that are on that. You're going to see that roll into future years, just like the FBE will roll a little bit into future years. But the principle of that's all the money that we have, that's what we're going to spend to get there, and then after that, it becomes like a little bit of the harder choices. We have to choose between the projects that are the nice-to-haves, which is probably what we won't be able to get to every time. We still will be able to do some of those, but we have to figure out what's at the top of our asset condition report, and those are the maintenance projects that we're going to emphasize. So when Joanne was mentioning that there was $35 million that we kind of were taking out of the budget, primarily those are the nice-to-have things that were more aspirational. We've decided to have a more realistic view of what's coming to the future so that we can present that to people, and that they, in some sense, don't get their hopes up that something's coming that we can't afford. So the balance of those projects that were removed were things that we thought were things we might want to do that we are looking at pushing off into a future year. That's where it is. I know it's not like the ideal circumstance where we're flush and I can give you all good news, but I just wanted to come to you, make sure that you had an accurate representation of what our budget looked like and then knew what we were up against and what choices we were making. So with that, and we're here for any questions that you have, and I'm sure there's a few.
Any questions? Bert?
Okay. On the Fund 108 Dana Point titles. And I'm a big fan of the county sheriff and our patrol, as I'm sure the city of Dana Point is.
I love them. I wish they didn't cost so much.
Can you explain to me why we have a $900,000 or $800,000 increase over last year?
Yes, I can answer that. When I spoke with them, they said that there was a change in how the call hours are recorded. So even though their overall amount didn't increase from last year, the amounts that are allocated between the three funds, so it's 405, 108, and 106, did change. So you're seeing that increase here, but in fund 405, it decreased.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
Justin. Just a couple quick ones, in some ways, just to get you back up to speed. So the decrease in revenue, it seems it was just a few years ago that we recaptured the dollars taken out of parks to the county for the bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. Right? What fund do those revenues flow back into now?
Unless you have a different answer.
I guess I don't understand the question.
So up until just a few years ago, mm-hmm. I think it was property tax revenue was taken out of parks that went to pay off bankruptcy debt. Yeah. That was finished, I think, just maybe 2-3 years ago, maybe right before COVID. What fund are those dollars recaptured in parks?
So they go back into the 405 fund?
That's what I thought.
Exactly.
Okay. So 405, then, the FBU is what we use to offset shortages.
Yeah, well, what's happening, and it's not quite the FBU, but what we do is if there's the other funds that we have, say primarily 108, 106, mm-hmm. if they are depleted, then 405 will make up for those revenues, right?
So I guess part of my question is to some degree, how I view my role on here, which is to advise to Fifth, but then also to help you guys. It goes both ways. If I'm up there, and again, to Bert's question statement from earlier, deploying me into the wild, being back here, is
hi, Justin.
Yeah, for those who've been around for a while, we would talk about how incredibly well Parks was run pre or post bankruptcy, knowing that we were hamstrung with those dollars not being here. So I'm just saying how the narrative is when you talk to the board offices about being hamstrung with dollars when those dollars have been recaptured back. I mean, it's a larger story than that, but, we did a good amount, Tom, you were part of that, with less, and the dollars are there. So I just, with how you couch it with the board office.
Yeah, if I understand your, and I think I do.
It's more commentary than it is.
I think what we, our message that we give out, and perhaps what we've done is too good a job convincing you that we're broke. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, what our budget, in order to like last into future years,
right.
We have the ability to expend on capital projects to the tune of around $10 million every year. Okay. Right. So that's not my definition of being broke. What it is that's the sort of, we've decided that instead of spending above that and then not worrying about the future, what we have to do is we have to design our budget now so we can extend like indefinitely.
Yeah, and Joanne's comments on the fiscal, conservative,
right.
It's well-founded. It's just how we talked about Park's operation, yeah. When those dollars weren't there versus how we're talking about posts when the dollars are technically flowing.
Yeah, and I guess maybe then what we have is we have a sufficient amount of revenue that I think we can have what I consider a world-class park system, and I'm very proud of what we do, and I'm determined to make sure that when people go to an Orange County park that they know what level of service sure. that they can get, and that it's like, I don't want to disparage anybody else, but I prefer to go to Orange County parks, right? And so I think we can keep it at that level, and then we can expand some of our services, and we can provide amenities if we're paying attention to only keeping it a certain level each year.
Right.
So I think that success and the money coming back in can be utilized to that. And our message seems probably more alarmist by the way you're reacting, Justin.
I'm not alarmed.
Yeah, and by the way, it is very nice to see you. I keep smiling. What we're looking at is a situation where I think we're doing well. We just have to make sure that we're doing that into the future.
Okay.
So that's the narrative that we talked to the board offices. The issue with that, and it was something that the chair and I spoke about a little bit earlier, is if we have $10 million to spend each year, and some of these projects, like I will mention in a minute, the first phase of Mile Square cost about 11.3, right? So there will be years when down the funnel, there's going to have to be some give and take that, this year we're going to spend on this, but maybe in future years it's going to be leaner there and a little bit greener here. So that's where we'll need to help. Yeah.
So another quick kind of follow-up, and this might be just kind of biting around the edges of bigger issues, because really the 405 fund and how it's funded is really the big deal. But you talked about earlier, I think it kind of came up in two different places, the increase, the variance in costs on services and supplies, and kind of couched in being COVID-related. And then that kind of showed up again on the chart I think Joanne talked about, which increasing salaries and benefits, and kind of have a question on that. So on the COVID-related and the janitorial, how much of that, how significant of a component is that? And then secondly, how much of that is OSHA requirement-driven versus the term that I kind of see through this process, which is disinfection theater, which is we're doing stuff, but it actually doesn't do anything, and it's not required. So I'm trying to gauge how much of a chunk of that, and if it's significant. I have no reason to believe that.
Well, and I think what you were looking at, it's not all of the number that mm-hmm. was there, but what we did during the pandemic is I'm not going to editorialize. It's something similar to what you were bringing up. At the beginning, when it was, there were many unknowns. One of the things...
Oh, do believe me, I was putting packages out on the sidewalk. Yeah, that's what sunlight would make them fine, too.
Yeah, exactly. So what we did was there was the shortage of equipment, mm-hmm. right? And our trouble was we couldn't send in our maintenance workers to do all the work in, like cleaning bathrooms, mm-hmm. pulling trash. We just simply couldn't get the PPE that we needed to outfit our people to do it.
Right.
So we increased our janitorial contracts because they did have those supplies.
Okay.
And then they came in for a period of time and they did those services for us. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we're reallocating away from those janitorial services, and that's why you see it maybe move back more in line okay. with our operations of the past.
I'm going to sit on that for a minute because you're on to something. Sorry.
Are you okay with that, Justin?
The next fiscal year that you're talking about, they said there. That's when I asked you when does the fiscal mm-hmm. year start? Because mm-hmm. you're talking about raising the dollars up for COVID in the next year, uh-huh. which is in the next 9 months. So to me, they're anticipating a COVID problem or a continual of, and it was what? How much more was it? Another $3 million or something?
It looked to be that much. And more so, my comment is related to being able at your level, Tom, to start discerning what is really required as far as OSHA standard. I mean, new stuff came down today. Thankfully now I don't have to interpret, I just shoot off to HR. They're well done enough where I can just say I've done my job. But there's a lot of things that, depending on what your product is, and a parks product different than a retail product, different than an office product, there's going to be some things you're going to go over the top on. They're not required. Mm-hmm. But for whatever that product is, you need to do it to give the sense of confidence to come back in. For parks, the question is really how much of that is required, and then how much of a chunk of that is needed. I don't know the answer to that, Tom, but I would just say that that might be something you look at in years going forward, is how much of it is more, this is not a comment on what you're doing, I think we've all done it, how much is theater and then how much is required, because if we can continue on this trend, there may be less backlash if there's not so much, quote unquote, disinfectant theater going on that's not required by regulatory agencies.
So. I appreciate that, but go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to make a quick point of clarification. The increase in the lifeguards contract, it happened during the time of COVID, but it really wasn't to add protections for COVID. Okay. It was because our beaches were one of the few places that were open at that mm-hmm. time.
Right.
We saw a giant increase in a public visitation, and we just had revenue.
And I specifically, John, I was going off of the comment on janitorial yeah. services.
Well, and if I may, on the janitorial, so in the beginning, it was exactly as Tom had said, is that it was about not having enough PPE for our maintenance staff. Mm-hmm. But then when we had the VIP program, which was when we had a lot of our staff actually retired, that was a lot of our maintenance staff.
Oh.
And so in order for us to be able to make up for that maintenance staff not being there, we continued the janitorial until we were able to actually refill those positions. And we're finally just refilling those positions.
Okay.
So some of those just happened to be all of these things happening at the same time, where it was COVID at first, can't send our staff in because we don't have enough PPE. And then it was, okay, we actually don't have enough staff now to be able to clean our bathrooms and things like that. And we really were watching as we were watching the OSHA standards, we were watching, mm-hmm. okay, what is the CDC mm-hmm. recommending? Okay, now what is the governor recommending?
Right.
And some of it we were like, okay, so should we be doing this? Should we be doing that? And then it was more, okay, what common sense now? What can we do? So we really were looking at all those things, and we were being very thoughtful about it. We can't just stop it just because, you know, now COVID is not quite the same
sure.
as what we thought in the beginning, where we thought, okay, if we touch this and someone else touches it 2 weeks later, they're probably going to get COVID. It was more of, okay, now we have a little bit more information, but now we don't have as many staff as we did.
Right.
So let's make sure that we're really allocating our staff appropriately, and that we're still keeping our bathrooms clean. We're still doing those things that are just the things that we would do pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really back into that more of that thing. So it,
yeah.
it was a lot of different things like that.
Okay. Yeah. And then Commissioner McCusker, the other thing too is the dollar amounts that you're seeing there too. They do include the, like Joanne mentioned, the lifeguard services, things like that, that we were expanding. During COVID, we're going to continue to have expanded lifeguard services just because of the visitations at the level that that's required.
Okay.
So that might answer your question, Commissioner Hanson, like why would that continue at some level? It's not the cleaning or the janitorial. There's some lifeguard services, other services in there that because of the increased visitation we're going to continue with. And I don't know if that helps answer. You didn't quite ask your question, but I hope I'm hitting it off.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Going to a little bigger picture and the reference to the expanded uses by the public in our parks and beaches and the opportunity during the whole COVID process and funds that are supposedly out there, is there an opportunity or have you investigated trying to get some of the COVID money that's been floating down from the state and feds to offset some of the costs?
Well, Ronnie, you can give the good news. Go ahead. Yeah.
Parks did receive, I think, roughly about $600,000 last year from ARPA funds, but it is being allocated by CEO budget. So right now, that's currently what they've received.
Yeah.
It's about $600,000.
Right. Yeah, and so the answer is yes, we're trying that. The other thing that I would add.
Okay. Did you say it's coming from the CEO?
They're
coming into the county, and the county's disseminating out where they want it.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did we apply for the money, or did the CEO's office apply for the money?
I would have to follow up with that.
Well, so
and if we applied for the money, mm-hmm. and the money was given to the CEO, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
did we get it?
Yeah, no. So, Mr. Ashland, I think it's fair
if
to say there's
a tree falls in and yeah. Park.
Yeah, no one's there. There's two processes at play. The county applied for the funding directly through the CEO's office. We submitted our request prior to that to help with the building of the original request, and then we awaited disbursements of the funds afterwards. So what we've seen is we've seen about $600,000 recouped, which is I think in line with what we were requesting. It's not all of it, that's for sure. But we're one of the reasons that I think that we're making sure that we're letting them know what our requests are, and then if we can get any money recouped through that, it would be appropriate. And we have put a lot of mental energy in what would be an appropriate ask, and then seeing what we can recover. There, we were just having some conversations, and it's an ongoing process where what are the sort of unexpected, one of the things that we maybe didn't expect was we didn't expect that attendance would go through the roof, and that would be what would COVID be like. So when they were asking initially, like, what do you want to spend to recoup your finances, we were looking at plexiglass and maybe an additional vehicle or two to get people out there so they don't have to ride together. That was the things that we were thinking of. We weren't thinking of, well, trail maintenance, additional parking lots, things like that, that are now on our radar that we might, put our hand back out for.
Isn't it nice to know that whereas the Bay Club and Blackie's were the tier one recreation spots, it's now us.
Yes, correct, yeah. It is, it is an interesting process that we've gone through recently where we just want to make sure the parks aren't loved to death, but it is nice to see that we were part of both the health of the public and the mental health of the public, and it gave our staff, some of which are senior staff, all in the room right around us, so I know that from personal conversations, a lot of pride's been taken in our ability to help the public, and particularly the citizens of Orange County. And it's a great thing, particularly in a really rough spot, so we're going to continue to do our best with that, but I'm not going to complain about people loving the parks and coming out.
Joe Muller knows how much I love Salt Creek. I visited Salt Creek more during COVID than I did in the previous 25 years. Yeah. I was there probably 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah. There's only two things you could do. You go to the beach, you could play golf. Yeah. Those are your options during this.
So. You could ride a bike.
Thanks for coming down.
Many people were hiking and biking, I can assure you.
Yes.
Did you take do any surveys as to where these people came from? No, because in years past, we have done surveys, and we've discovered that 30% or just some number came from the Inland Empire. Have we monitored or managed to derive some information in during COVID, whether that split changed?
Yeah, they've done a couple different things. So we have our surveys of the visitors that come to our events. So we have that information that's come in. And we also, Pam probably has some more information on this, but I'm looking at my watch. I don't want to take too long. We have the study that we're doing on our trail project through Utah State, that the data is coming in soon, and that will include some numbers about where people are coming from, as well as what kind of recreation they're doing.
Super. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else? David, go ahead, David.
Go ahead. Oh, okay, thank you.
You're David, he's David.
I'm Dave, too.
You're Dave.
Who decides when to shift from spending to saving?
You mean in terms of what the actual numbers are that we put into what?
Here's where our money's going here, and we're like, whoa, if it keeps on this, we're going to be out of money.
Right.
So when do we say, hey, we should have more money in savings? Hey, we should spend more money on projects?
Yeah.
Who decides that?
Well, I think that it would be myself and the senior staff here at Parks. What we've been looking at, and I was just talking with Ronnie earlier today, the number that we're trying to achieve at our balance for what we have in savings, it's almost like a personal savings account, is roughly what you're seeing on that last chart. So we're looking at about $65 million would be the appropriate amount.
Okay.
Right. And so no one
at the county level is coming to you going, Tom, you're crazy. You should have 75, 80. You should spend some of that so that people enjoy. Or is that a constant? Is that a weekly conversation?
It's not unprecedented for people to have conversations with me opinion about where they would like our money spent.
But ultimately, the decision of having $65 million in the bank is your decision?
Yeah, well, and it's in line with what, and, you know, Ronnie can give some details, but it's in line with what the general fund departments recommend as a reserve, mm-hmm. right? So we are going to keep it right about there. At the time that we achieve that, there's honestly some triggers that we have that probably are beneficial to us, and we might need less reserves than a typical general a general fund department. What we have is we have property tax revenue, which is a fairly constant source that comes in. So we get like $90 million, you know, every year. Obviously we've seen some things that may change that are the disasters. But at any point, that if we had, like, say, a big fire that wiped some things out and we had to close it, we could cut back on our contracts. Mm-hmm. We don't need our landscaping. We can cut back on parking contracts. So we can reduce our expenditures.
The point being, 65 is your comfort.
That's what's recommended as the standard by the county and what's comfortable.
Are there any more dollars put in the future years to take into consideration the tide that's rising and the problems we're having? Are you budgeting any more for oh my gosh moments along this sea?
Yeah. And that's the thing that we've been talking about is not only are we saving some of that you know, the reserve for that, some of the projects that you see are in future years are accounting for those projects that we're hoping to do to combat that. We're hoping that we're allowed to do the projects. And so we need Coastal Commission approval, and so we're saving the money, we have the plan, we're just hoping that we get the green light to do it. And then additionally, we're investing, as Joanne mentioned, in our human resources component as well. So we're hiring an additional position. We have a senior coastal engineer, but we're bringing in another manager level position to help with that as well.
Good. You referenced unassigned reserves. When they're unassigned, tell me real quickly what unassigned reserve is.
So any time in a year where you have more revenue or financing versus your expenditures, that money does not go back to a general fund. It stays within that fund, and it goes to what we call a fund balance unassigned. And then Parks is able to use that for future budget or
years. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Is there another way to say something is unrestricted? It's not earmarked, so you have flexibility to plug holes.
Doesn't go away.
Right.
It's back to what you were talking about earlier, where if you don't spend it, it goes back into the fund.
It stays with
fund. What's a large equipment versus small equipment? What's an example of a large equipment and a small equipment?
So large equipment is identified as any unit that is over 5,000.
Over 5, okay.
It's going to be a fixed asset.
All right, thank you. The new 8 positions, you're going to do 4 over here and 4 over here. Is that part of the 20 that you're short of right now?
No, what that's referring to is in order for the budgetary purposes, there's an assumption that we will always at any time have 20 empty positions. So that just accounts for people that might retire, they might go to another job, and before we can fill the job, the rough estimate is that at any one time, there'll be 20 vacancies.
All right.
So we don't budget the full amount.
And then was 108 kind of like TI? We heard about some TI dollars last week with the restaurant. And we're going to put in, what, $50,000 a year for X amount of years to give them free rent. Was 108 kind of like a TI fund for the folks that took over the Dana Point Harbor? Because there was money in that account already. Right. And that's going to go to zero. And $12 million's here now, $8 million's coming in later. Was that money kind of said, hey, we're going to give you guys this as part of the deal?
No, and the answer is a little more complicated, but yes, some of it, but not like all of it. So the 108 fund that comes to parks, we have some facilities down there that we do, so Sailing and Event Center, Baby Beach, so we do some maintenance in that area, and then the expenditures that we have on the cost for those things, as well as Harbor Patrol, right, are outpacing what the amount of revenue that we're getting coming back into that fund. One of the things that we have to keep an eye on, and we just don't know, is how much will the revenue increase as the harbor is developed, right? So the thought process is...
Revenue for who?
For us, for the fund itself.
So as long as Dana Boyhart, this is, how long is this lease? I forget. 40 years, 50 years, 6 years?
6 years, yeah.
So there's still income for parks?
Yes, correct.
Down in there?
Yeah.
And does parks still have an expense for the sheriffs down in there? Or is that not going to be taken over by those folks?
No, that's the expense you see. That's the Harbor Patrol expense.
Okay.
So our expense, and that's where the real question is the revenue that comes in from the newly renovated harbor going to outpace our expenses that we have both for our own infrastructure maintenance and for the support of Harbor Patrol?
But this is going to close. 108 is going to close,
right.
And we're still going to have to be paying and have income for stuff. So
correct.
We're just going to make it easier and have it come into the 405 general fund.
Yeah, except for 108 probably won't close. What we'll have is we'll have a limited amount of money coming in. Well, limited. I wish I got the limited amount. We'll have millions of dollars coming into that fund. It won't be enough. So each year what will happen is, let's say that we get $3 million that's coming in. That might be it's a guess. Am I way off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, $3 million coming in. We're going to need to expend about $8 million there. So 405 will continue to put $5 million into that fund. The fund will still exist.
All right.
And then we're just hoping that the revenue keeps going up.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Dave?
Oh, thank you. If you just kind of bear with me, is this being recorded, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because that way you'll know what my points are, and then maybe you can get back to me and it'll save us a lot of time. I think I'm not going to belabor the point that as far as different programs and facilities and parks, inland cities could use some improvement. I think we all agree to that, okay? And that's kind of a mute point. So I was looking at what maybe we could do as an organization to recommend to the Board of Supervisors so that we can get some kind of a balance. I'm not asking for a gazillion dollars, but there's ways in which we can do it. My concept is CIP versus programming. I don't think that we should spend a lot of money in putting improvements in, but what we might want to do is take advantage of the different locations that local government and local cities have. A lot of them are funding a lot of the programs that are going on there. And I'm trying to figure out what would be wrong with OC Parks coming in and enhancing those programs with the resources that are already there. As an example, I think it would be great if we took a survey of what is out there. Ask the cities, you know, what kind of programs do you have? How can we come out and enhance them, okay? As an example, a lot of the wonderful things that you do, whether it's a movie in the park or a Halloween party, or, you know, it's kind of out of our area of where we're located. But we do have those programs, but they're at a much smaller scale. And maybe by just a little bit of help funding-wise and a little bit of help in joining in a partnership, we can make those really big events. And we can have more of them. And I think that's all I'm asking for at this particular point. If you take a look at, one of the things is somebody's going to say, well, if the county comes in, like into my 11-acre park, you know, which is Stanton Central, which is awesome park. You know, people from South counties come here all the time. So what you do is you limit the type of participation that's going to be in there. In other words, you might have a toddler, you know, Easter parade, or you might have a tree lighting for, you know, senior citizens or something. But I think you can control the volume of the program, but you guys can come in and really help a lot of us. There's so many cities right now that are also struggling financially that if you just gave them a little bit of help, it would double or quadruple the programs that we're able to provide to the residents there. And you know, what's nice is you see City of Stanton logo, or you see La Habra, or you see Santa Ana, but then right next to you see OC Parks as a partner. And I think that is something that would really work well. I think one of the things I'd like to see you do too is, I know that we try to outreach and we say we have all these wonderful things, but I think we need to be a little more proactive in the inland cities to let people know what's really here. You know, I mean, some of the things on tours that I went on, I didn't even know they existed. Probably because maybe it's my own fault until I joined this board. But I think unless we take it to the people, they're not really going to understand it. Some of the other things, too, I'll give you an example of how you can help Stanton. We have an 11.5-acre park, and there's a strip there for our parking. And if OC Park could come in and help me with that parking strip, and we could put, you know, a partnership, OC Parks, you know, parking for the park, you know, that type of thing. And it's not, it wouldn't cost that much money. Also things like, you know, I think it's important too, like, if we take a look at some of the areas, one of the things we could do in our area just to really help is we want rails to trails. Rails to trails with OC Park, working with all the grant money that I can sneak in, all the city grant money, we could actually put a OC Parks rails to trails right down the middle of all the inland cities, wherever that's possible. And then we put our big sign, you know, OC Parks, OC Parks, OC Parks. You know, that's been done recently in the city of Garden Grove, $2.5 million, and it's magnificent. But if you had the cities participating, you had local government, you had the state, you had the county, and we had, I mean, we had OC Parks, that we could afford something like that. Anyway, I'm just kind of looking, you know, because we have no capital projects in the inland areas. You know, we don't really have, you know, a lot of if you go back to that one slide.
Hey, David, by the way, Miles Square is an inland.
Miles Square,
Miles Square take all our budget.
Miles Square does not exist to many of the inland cities. They don't even know it's there.
Well, I'm saying, but it is an inland city.
If you go from 405 to the 91 to the 55, that's kind of a void area. And hey, look, I'm not here to argue with anybody.
No, I said, but they are out there. I understand what you're saying, yeah, because we've had this conversation a lot.
No, I know you have, but I'm now reemphasizing it.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm inland, okay?
I
I have a lot of constituents out there.
Way more than I do, because I'm coastal.
Yeah, but you also have data points, so.
And your own fun.
Yeah.
Dave, I live in Garden Grove. I represent the First Missouri District. The city was against, the community was against converting that B&E, that Red Line Trail, into a beautiful meandering parkway. For years, Steve fought for it. Steve Jones, our mayor, fought for it against significant opposition. And there isn't anybody in town now that doesn't like it.
No, and I think that, like I said, look, if we just get a little bit at a time, it'll fit into the budget, you know. You can't just add a big budget item for inland cities because, you know, I don't think we've been part of that process. We have so many other, like you said, we have Miles Square Park, we got the, you know, the Tidelands, we got all this other stuff. That really takes the bulk of our money. But there's a way that we can really make it better and get our name out to all the other cities simply by spending a little bit of programming. And I mean, it's an example of just some of the coloring books that we used to get from OC Parks. I've been passing those out. Nobody, you know, that's a great thing. Just little things like that is all I'm asking you for. I did have a couple of other questions. I don't know if the Board of Supervisors have ever asked for an increase fee if we ever really get in trouble that is designated to the park system. That was just a thought. Mm-hmm. Also, I know that if you are paying taxes into the park system and we really don't have anything local, then maybe, you know, maybe if we brought it in, some of the taxpayers would feel better about it. The other thing is, you know, I did look at the salary, and I noticed as we're moving down, if you look at the cost of salaries versus our programs as we go down, you know, they start here, there's a gap here, and then as you get down here, the salaries start going here, and we're down here. And so I wonder if anybody has ever done any comp studies on, you know, what percentile are our employees in? Are we paying them fairly? Are we paying them too much? Because if the bulk of your costs end up being your employees, then there's a way which you can save money to put it back into your programs. The problem with what we do is that in order for us to deliver programs, we have to have the personnel to do it. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Anyway, you know, that's kind of, I just thought, has anybody thought, you know, I'm an OC SAN, and I know a lot about the way water moves around. Have we ever thought of making Irvine Lake a reservoir? Or is that like totally out of the question?
What, you mean permanent?
It is a reservoir.
It's a reservoir.
Yeah, no, but when I say reservoir, I mean with water in it. I mean, is there, have we ever...
There's an input.
I know, but there's a way to supplement that. I didn't know if...
From Lake Matthews, there's an input. Yeah. And it was used by the Villa Park Agricultural Water District.
Yeah, but it's now managed by Irvine Ranch Water District.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
John, Dave, one other question there, John. I know your question trying to solve. I'll avoid agreeing with most of what David said about the inland cities, but in the meantime, something like the Craig Mountain Bike Park, you know, which has been stuck with Army Corps for too long. When that's something like that breaks loose, does it go to the end of the line on capital expenditures?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, so
not just saying that project, any other.
No, but that's a good example, right? Yeah. So what we've done is we've dedicated the amount of money that we're going to need to build that, and so it's not necessarily sitting in a pot, but it's the next one up that we would do. So when I was talking about sort of the, you know, like we call it wish list things we want to do that are the nice to haves, like there are some that we're ready to like jump on as soon as we can. Ronnie, I don't believe it's in the current queue with money sitting in the pot waiting for it to happen, right? It's not in there. I mean,
is it approved to build?
It's not. That's the problem. So once, and that's as you well know, once the Army Corps gives us the green light to go ahead and prove it, not only do we're working on getting grants that we can get to get on that, but we'll have our own funding to ready to go. So it wouldn't be like, oh no, 6 years we'll get to it from there. So we do have the ability to adjust upwards for things that we're kind of waiting for the approval. And then as the chair knows, we're waiting for approval on a number of things that we'd like to spend money on. That's one.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So just a quick question. When we go back to the Harbor Patrol and Fund 108 and 106, 108 is being drawn down because you got all known because Harbor Partners are taking on slip revenues and retail revenues. And that's why that fund's not being funded at the level it was. What happens, because you've stated that the revenue coming in is not going to keep pace with the expenses for Harbor Patrol. For instance, $3 million coming in, $8 million going out. At what point... First of all, who sets the level of service in the Harbor Patrol? Is that out of the supervisors? Because it's,
sure.
I know, well, they can, but somebody's got to pay for it. So the city of Dana Point does pay for part of it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
In my budget, and it bothers me because it's a big one. It's a pretty substantial piece of it. Who sets how many people need to be down there? I guess my question is, if we get to a point and we need to reduce that level of service,
right.
Who makes that decision?
Well, what we've done recently is we had a discussion just this week with our colleagues in the Sheriff's Department. We put them on notice of what our financial situation is.
How did that go?
It went well. It was well received. So what we're looking at is that we have the ability to push back and say, like, hey, this is the amount of money that we have to expend. That's what we've got. You know, that's where we're going to be. What we can't, I don't think would be appropriate, would be for us to direct what level of service they think is required in order to keep people safe and do their job. What we're doing is we're saying, this is the money we have, guys. Like, this is it. I think it's yet to be seen what will happen. If we go and say, we can no longer afford more, I think then it's up to the you know, board supervisors and the sheriff to work in conjunction with each other to make sure that they come to an arrangement that is something that is financially achievable.
And that was one of my questions, because I don't get to vote on sheriff salaries and salary increases. The only way my city has to control my sheriff contract is level of service, how many deputies are we going to have. But we're fortunate, we're not in a position we have to reduce it, but we may be there someday. And I was wondering, and we would make that decision as a city if we were to reduce deputies, which we're not going to, but I'm just wondering who makes that decision for the harbor. I think you can answer my question. It's the supervisors.
Correct. It's not the parks director.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That punch I know.
And when do you think we're going to... Well, we're about to find out, right?
Correct.
I mean, this is how much money we have. What are you guys going to do?
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting for the cities to see. What if we did that?
Okay.
Go ahead. with it.
Yeah, I was just going to say one of the other things about maybe working with local government, because when you guys have, you get sponsorship from the whole county, and there's only a few select individuals that have that type of funding. But if you do it at the local level or at the city level, then you can get local businesses, local people to help you with your sponsorship to defray your costs. Because if I was a local business, I was having something at the park in conjunction with OC Parks, I'd gladly write a check for that. Because it's, we know that it's actually benefiting my community or the people that shop at my store. So that would be very helpful for you too.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And one of the things that's coming up is as we look towards renewing our contract with the entity that does our concerts and movies, there's a sponsorship component in that contract as well. That it is puts the onus on them to offset their costs by gaining sponsorship.
Okay, anything else? Great job, guys. I really appreciate what you've done and taking a look at how we maintain our budget in a nice view and look into the future about be considerate about these capital projects that we're doing and help that cost what you do to us. That's a great job and I appreciate that. So we're going to go ahead and receive and file that. And that brings us to B, the proposed 2022 OC Parks Commission meeting. Trip schedule. Right now.
Well, Joanne, do you want to get
I can take this item off, yes.
Because you don't have a list of who's going to take it.
I know, I'm sorry.
No problem.
You can just ask either of them.
We're the fault of Tom and you.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, that works. So this item is essentially an annual item that you guys receive. It is to set your meeting schedule for next year. We, according to your bylaws and the ordinance that establishes your board, you are meeting on the first Thursday of every month through next year. We do have 3 months that we have scheduled commission field trips for. Well, it's not scheduled today. It's for you to vote on as those meetings, those field trips come up. But those are built into your schedule already. Pretty standard item here, and the recommended action is to approve your 2022 meeting and field trip schedule.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, Burke, do you have a question?
Yes.
Okay, sir, go ahead. Ask your question for a moment.
Since we're talking about schedules, I also serve on the airport commission, and those meetings occur on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Is there any interest in changing the time when this meeting occurs?
You mean moving it up from 7 to 9 at night? Or from
yeah. That's right. I'm just curious. If everybody's happy with 7, that's fine.
We do catered lunch meetings.
An hour earlier would be fine with me.
I think 6 o'clock would work for me.
So
commissioners, I should mention very quickly right. that your meeting time is set forth by the ordinance that set your...
That's what I was going to ask. Is it required to be at this time?
Well, has that ever stopped anybody?
How do you change that?
We could change ordinances, but we would have to go through the Board of Supervisors and they would need
Well, okay, so then his question's an okay one then right now,
still
right?
Valid question.
Well, I would still rather bump it up and go to 6.
Let's also then take into consideration that there's a lot of staff time to go into this, so there's 7 of us.
There's going
to
be 94 things taken into consideration about this. Right? Just the one that I thought was, yeah, I would do it an hour earlier to get home, an hour earlier.
Yeah.
If there is enough chum in the water for that, maybe it throws back on the other side. Why don't you guys talk to see if you want to
That's what
get
I was
home
gonna,
an hour earlier?
Well, what I was going to suggest, if it's okay with the chair, is that why don't we do the research on what would be required, come back and let you know, okay. And then we'll determine if it's...
And let us know if that even is worth it for
staff,
you folks.
Yeah. I think I can speak for everyone that our preference would be that if it started earlier, it would be better for us. So,
let's do a catered lunch.
Yeah, I think that people's preference might be that as well. The one thing that we do have to keep in mind that is the public participation. It needs to be within the hours that I think would be beneficial for folks that may be working to be able to come. So, if we can get an hour earlier, let's look into see what it takes and then see if we can come back to it.
Now, you know, we're going to be coming off soon, maybe, we don't know, and a lot of us have other boards that we're on, and, you know, I'm not saying that this is perfect, because it is later, it's easier to get from Stanton on the freeway than it is an hour earlier.
Well, that's what I was going to say, so we're going to go from quite a bit ways away.
Yeah. In other words, it takes longer, but I think before we change it, because I know that I have mine in a pretty finite balance that I'm pretty happy with, If I can go an hour earlier and it works for staff, I have no problem. But before you make any changes, please let me look at my schedule. Okay. I think Joe's in the same boat I'm in.
Okay. Okay. Actually,
yeah, I know how far you.
I know this is a great meeting. I have nothing else on the first two Thursday of the month.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. Nothing else. Maybe you have some.
Can I have a verification on who was the second on this for item?
On approving
the schedule.
I think it was me, but
okay.
You got it.
Thank you.
If you like, you can add on there at some point, Mr. Chairman, I will provide lunch at Stanton Central Park.
Free lunch at Stanton Central Park.
That's so far away from Data Point.
Yeah. That's what I said in my last three trips down this way for your week.
Okay. So it's web direction you guys are going to check into.
Commission field trip, yeah.
So you're going to check into it before you just make a decision.
Correct.
You move it, what will be best.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. That passes. Perfect. So let's just do one.
I didn't see it.
You well.
I did.
All right, that brings us to item 5, Osage Park's director's report.
So I'll take it through and I'll keep it quick. We have a couple things that I just wanted to bring to your attention.
Martin, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going fast. What's going on right now is the Park Ranger Academy has begun. So it's a great time for us. We have 8 folks. It's RA8, which is Ranger Academy 8. There's 8 participants in the academy. They just began 2 weeks ago, so it's really cool. The academy takes place primarily here at headquarters, so we get a chance 2 days a week on Mondays and Tuesdays to see the new Rangers buzzing around, and it's nice to have the excitement here. I have a whole thing, but I won't go through that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the head of the academy to come do a presentation for you in January. We're going to ask the academy themselves to attend, so you get a chance to meet them while they're here. So their graduation is currently scheduled for March. So it's quite a haul for them. They are working as park rangers while they're in the academy. So they work 2 days a week in the academy, and then they work the weekend shift usually in some of our facilities elsewhere. So you'll get a chance to meet them in January, and I'm looking forward and are proud to have them come be in front of you. The other thing that we've mentioned a couple times, so I won't belabor it, the phase one construction ASR is going to the board in December for Mile Square. So that's the sort of beginning of the construction out there, so we can start seeing those 93 acres converted to a park. And I think we're very excited to make that happen. I'm looking forward to it.
Can we go out there with dirt bikes first and tear it up?
You just have to talk to Bill Ryder, and I'm guaranteeing that he will allow it. He's the park committee manager. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So you've had the right question in the right area. And then just real quick.
January 6th.
Yeah. There's a couple things I do want to bring. Speaking of good things that are opening up, Key Ranch, our historic site, is reopening this Saturday. So it's been quite a while. 2014, there was an earthquake that damaged the facility. We've put expended some funds to bring that back online. The opening is at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Anybody's welcome to come out. So you're certainly welcome to come to that. We also, and that's in your packet, you have one of the flyers there. A couple other things, since they're coming up in December, we're going to get information emailed to you, but we won't have a meeting in December. So just put on your radar, there's a couple things at Heritage Hill. There's a candlelight walk, which is December 10th through the 12th. That is our event out there that has more activities, carolers, crafts, things like that for the kids. The following weekend at Heritage Hill, what they do is they keep the light there, and they convert it into more of a picture, sort of Instagram-ish kind of experience for people to come self-guide their way through and then take photos. They just did, and our communications manager is still here, I believe. We just did Halloween, which was the thing that Joanne mentioned that we did in place of the Lake Forest event. We had, and I'm getting this wrong, 10,000 people over 6 days. Is that right, Christy? Okay, so, and that was quite cool because that was an OC Parks endeavor that we did, not in conjunction with the City of Lake Forest, but for the residents that were used to having a fall event there. And that was primarily picture spots that people came through with their kids in costume, took photos, just kind of wandered through, and it took them about a half hour to get through and get like 5 or 6 different sites that they could take photos. The same thing will be happening around the holidays.
qualities. And then the last thing I'll make a pitch for is come on out to Christmas at the Zoo, December 11th. And that's, if you've been out to one of the events, like the Christmas event or the Halloween event at the Zoo, it's so cool. They have like little, you know, Christmas packages that they give to the animals to tear apart. It's, they put a little dead mouse in there for the, you know, and the kids just love it. So, you know, it's not the traditional holiday experience, but I think it's a real fun time for people. And that's all I have.
You forgot the Harvard Merry Christmas.
Well, that's, yeah, like, yeah, I didn't have the dates for that. We will make sure that's in the email going out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, guys, that brings us to, thanks, Tom, some good events coming up. Absolutely. I might actually do the Christmas at the Zoo. I've never done that before.
We can make sure you're front and center when the mouse is in the package.
All right. All right, cool. All right, that brings us to commissioners' report. Any commissioners have anything to report? David?
Oh, go ahead. No, no, Bert, I'll go last.
He's an elected person. We always like to speak last. So go ahead.
I just came back from the Big Island. I was there for 8 or 10 days. And
you can fly up there for $79.
And I want you to know that glowing hot lava is cool. It's real hot, but it's very, very
cool. Can we get some in our parks?
Should we add some to the Mount Park?
Yeah.
Glowing lava flow.
It was like dark black, doing nothing. And the next moment, it was bubbly, hot.
Wow.
And it was just like, wow.
Is that it?
That's it?
All right, great. Dave?
Oh, I was just going to say that I'm trying to top that hot. Yes, you know, I'm going to. You know, they say a great teacher is only as good as his students he turned out, right? Well, I just got reminded tonight that Mark Wilson was in my physical education class. And he got an A. And look at how well he turned out. yes, on my coaching staff. And so they're everywhere doing a good job for you. So thank you, Mr. Curry.
It's my heart for that,
people. All right. I just want to thank you guys for another great meeting. And I think very, very economical. Appreciate that. That brings us to adjournment. We'll adjourn until January 6th, 2022.
Thank you.
Gobble, gobble, Merry Christmas.